On this morning with our tech, you know, basically our internet. So we threw up a phone here to get things going. So praise the Lord. Let's get started. My sermon today, the title is, Do You Want to Get On Down the Road with Your Life? Father, we ask, Lord, to bind the hands of Satan that will try to prevent us from learning today, from hearing from you. He's already tried, Lord, but we're not going to give up. We're gonna dive into your word, Lord, into your wisdom, and see what we can learn from you this morning for the steps ahead. In the name of Jesus, anoint our hearts, our technology, and also the future. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we got the scripture in 3 John 2. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, and just as your soul prospers. Now, in the original language that it was written in, John was telling them, hey, you know, I'm praying that you get on down the road and have success in whatever you're doing. That's kind of what it's saying there. In life, we all really want success, but we have a tendency to think about success, about how much money we have, but that's not really success. Success really has to do with relationships. You know, what kind of relationships do you have? And when you think about having successful relationships so you can enjoy all those other things, which one do we consider first? Can there be a balance in our relationships? I feel like my... Okay, there we go. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Praise the Lord. I forgot about how close I am to our phones here. So I was thinking about that. A balance in our relationships with father, mother, daughter, friend, boss, employee, with God, with myself. Because when you and I become unbalanced, that's where we start making mistakes and we start having problems, right? Now, here in our church, we don't teach psychology. That's a human concept that attempts to explain our emotional and abstract being. But what's interesting is God explained that we do have an emotional and abstract being 2,000 years before psychology even became a field. I was thinking about that. Amazing how wonderful God is. Because in psychology, there's kind of like four basic studies. There's the mental health. But 2,000 years ago, God had inspired the writing of the word. You got Matthew 12 and 35. I didn't tell the tech people about that. But Matthew 5 and 35 talks about the good treasure. Out of the treasure of the heart of a good man comes good things. And out of the treasure of an evil man comes evil things. And that word treasure means to deposit. So what he's saying in that scripture there, that what you deposit in your mind is what you're going to get out. Okay? So the things you think about. And then when we use the word evil, it's talking about hurt. So when you have a deposit of hurt in your mind, you're going to hurt people. You think in a hurtful way, you're going to hurt people, right? And then in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, he tells us things that we can think about so we're not hurtful. To put good things in our mind, like, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and you can read on and on. He tells us to meditate on these things. So he's already thousands of years ago talking about how to have mental health. Thousands of years ago. And then 2,000 years later, we come up with it, and we call it psychology in the field. We give it different terms. Another thing that psychology thinks or focuses on is a mental process. But God talks about that already. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, he says, Cast down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He's talking about a way of thinking. He's talking about to take these thoughts that are negative and plague us and struggles and things that just don't work, and he's saying to pull that back and think about things that will help you be successful. And he was saying that to for that to happen, then use his wisdom. Use Christ's way of thinking. And then another thing that psychology talks about, understanding behavior through different types of conditioning. Romans 12 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform is talking about don't be conditioned to the ways of the world, but to be conditioned to the way to change, way to be different, the way to be Christ. Already God was teaching us about there's all kinds of things that happen to us through life that we're conditioned to think wrong, struggle. Then there's they have a research of behavior health. Well, God's talking about that 2,000 years ago. In Colossians 3, 8 through 10, he says, now you yourselves are to put off all these things. That means learn to stop doing these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another. Since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge, means this is how you learn to do it, according to Christ's image. So he's already talking about that. I think that's just so amazing. It's just that Christian, talking about what's going on inside of me and in my mind, what we teach is not psychology, it's the way that God thinks. After all, he created us. Everyone has a perspective on how to balance their life. Man, you will find this everywhere. If you like to scroll through YouTube, it is all kinds of channels people have on this kind of thing. And it is important because it determines your level of success for your body, for your mind, and for your spirit. Because the reality is this, only Adam and Eve was directly physically created by God. Because a lot of people say, God created everything about me and my body. Oh, no, let's not blame God about that. Because only Adam and Eve can truly say, God created my physical body in the physical sense, and he created their abstract, you could say, or their mind, what we call their mind. I'm not talking about the brain, but the mind. And he filled it with him right off the bat. He was their source in the very beginning. He filled up that mind so they weren't hurtful. It changed when they chose to go their way. But after they fell and they started doing things their way, start filling up that mind with whatever avenue mankind has been trying for the last thousands and thousands of years without God, we got a big mess today, hurt everywhere. And the way we think, the way we act, man, whether you liked yourself or not physically, our bodies were created by mom, dad, our ancestors, and probably a whole bunch of fast food restaurants. Or whatever else your ancestors have been eating over the years. Our bodies are a biological cells put together. It's chemicals, and it has instinct to drive us to do things. Like eat so my body don't die. Drink water so I don't die of thirst. But your spirit, every human being that's being born, has been born. But your spirit, however, was directly created by God. That he reserved for himself. He created your spirit. He put his blueprint of himself into your spirit. The way that God created us as we procreate, that when you're born, your mind is blank. But it is molded along your life by your environment. What's my environment? People. Life experiences. How I feel about it. Now, our minds can be programmed for good or bad. A baby is not born evil and it's not born good. It's blank. It's innocent. That's innocence. That mind. God designed our mind with awesome potential. It has the ability to reason, to store information, to receive input from the body and the spirit. And that way it can formulate a response to life. I like to say our mind's kind of like the intercessory. We like to say Jesus is the intercessory between us and the Father, right? Well, my brain is an intercessory between my spirit and my body. The only problem is that thing don't work right, does it? Because your spirit kind of gives you, because we kind of get that. You ever just go to do something, say something, you get a little bit of a nudge? That's probably not a good idea. That's probably wrong. That's probably hurtful. That's your spirit trying to scream at you. But then I got my body saying, it's going to be all right. Because your body wants to follow through with that. Because it, your body, your body is only concerned with meeting needs. It doesn't take in consideration good and bad. It just wants fulfillment. Because it's driven to do what it does. And this is important to understand, Christians and people, because we have stored so much information over the centuries into our society, into our mind, and it's wrong. Most of it's wrong. It doesn't work. You and I, we are not in control of our lives. We know this true. Think about it. How many times have you said something or did something, and that was not what you originally intended to do or say? You ever get up in the morning and you're feeling pretty good about the day and you think, hey, I can't, you know, or maybe you're going to go on a date with your spouse and you're thinking of all the, you're thinking of ahead, okay, I want this to be a beautiful date. This is going to be great. And you end up having a fight the whole time. That's not how you started out. So we all have situations where we start out one way, end up in another. We all start out in life intending to be successful, but often we are not successful. Well, I'm here today to tell you that God wants you to, he wants to free your mind so you can gain control of your life and surrender that over to his wisdom so we can be our greatest potential. So just for a little while today, I want to talk about why does God focus so much on your mind in the scriptures? Because, man, it seems like that's what the whole New Testament talks about. All of us want to be our best, not just Christians, but even non-Christians. But often we're not, so why? And then I want to shoot you a little bit in the direction of how to get started with being your best. Why does God focus so much on how to deal with your mind in Scriptures? Because in 1 Peter 1:13, it gives us an explanation. He tells you and I, he said, hey, gird up your loins of your mind and be sober. Now, I thought about that. In English, that sounds kind of strange, you know. The first read that, I thought, now, why do I need to tighten? What does it mean to tighten up my underwear for my mind? Because in English, it says loins, right? But in the original language, the word gird is interesting because in the original language that Peter wrote this in, it says, prepare oneself for something difficult or challenging. That's what gird means. Prepare yourself. And then the word loins there actually means, the original word is hips. Now, what is your hips for? Well, they're for balance, stability. It allows me to have motion. And it's also very supporting to give me support against forces against me. You ever somebody bump into you? Well, whether you realize it or not, your hips adjust your body so you won't fall down. I mean, I'm not always successful about that part, but... You know, but, you know, it's to give me movement and turn and not fall down. What he was saying there, God through Peter, he was saying, God wants you to prepare yourself for something difficult in the part of your mind where you need to be balanced, stable, able to respond correctly, strengthen those principles so you can be supported by his wisdom in this life. You can handle the forces that come against you. Because your mind makes decisions that affects my entire being. It determines my likes and dislikes. It molds my fears, my beliefs, my values, my priorities in this life. It influences our emotional sensitivities that motivate us toward God, toward helping people, rejection or acceptance. It molds our self-esteem, what we think about ourselves. It makes decisions to determine our boundaries of our behavior. Is it good? Is it bad? Is that okay? It determines our avenue of how we're going to fulfill ourselves emotionally. and what kind of relationships we're going to have. So this tells me that our what's in our mind, how it's been built, is very important. I should know what's going on in there. Your mental being can be such a dynamic tool in the hands of God. Because if your mind is in step in unification with your spirit as God's flowing through you, you can have an awesome practical ministry that's just super powerful to help people. Because it brings it with your spirit being influenced by God into your mind, and your mind's influenced by His wisdom, and then it communicates through your body, you can be an awesome representative of God in the practical world. In Colossians 3 and 16, it tells us ways that we can do this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts in the Lord. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you've always been doing. Now, I thought about these scriptures. I quoted them because think about this. One tangible thing for me was when we had the pandemic and hardly anybody could come to church. So we were doing live stream. That's where we first got started in live stream. So you know how hard it is to talk to nobody? And like they're out there, and I had to visualize you guys there. You're just looking at me through a device. That's hard. But when we came back, it was more tangible. Now, we confess to God our sins, right? We say, God, I did this sin and that sin and that sin. I want you to know that one thing I have learned is, yeah, but that's not as tangible of having to tell someone that matters to you that you're a liar or you just stole from them or you just lied. Because, see, if Jesus was sitting right in front of you, looking at you between the eyes, looking into your eyes, and you have to say, I just lied. That somebody that's tangibly in front of you, that's not easy. That's hard. I'm pointing this out because our physical and mental representation of God is super important for human beings. It's not just physical or mental contact, verbal contact, or physical contact. It's all of it together completes us. That's why God talks about the body of Christ coming together. We talks about here in those scriptures quote where we sing. We comfort each other. You ever just need to sit down and talk to somebody? And they don't necessarily have to have all the answers. You need to talk. Get it out. You know, talking to yourself it's just not enough. You just need people. It's important. Powerful tool. But the flip side of that is that Satan can also use our mental being because your mind has different aspects to it. And that a lot of the information is just wrong, and it has misperceptions from our experiences, and it's just molded in the wrong way. But Christians have the potential to be free from all that. But the thing is, what I'm beginning to understand with my walk in the Lord is that not just have I been through this, but I'm not the only one, is that, hey, Christians, you know, a lot of us, we don't understand our mind, and non-Christians don't even have the strength to break free of what they do understand or not understand. We're kind of not working in the right direction here. They're in bondage to their brain as a not mind. I'm sorry, I'm goofing up here, but what I'm saying is that a non-Christian is in bondage to whatever's stored in that mind. They can't get out of it. And Christians, we have the potential to get out of it, but we don't understand how. And Satan uses that against us. Because a Christian mind should be subject to the Spirit of God. And it's expressed through our intellect. The part of our mind. Because, you know, God created us with what we call nowadays a subconscious mind. That's where all that stuff is stored. That's worthless, most of it. And God tells you to renew it with new knowledge, new information. But the problem is we're leaving it weak. We're not storing the right thoughts in our mind. You know that your mind assimilates or records audibly and visually around 7 trillion bits of information per 24 hours. So imagine that times 7 a week, times 4 a month, 12 months, and then go years. sadly, most of that information that you're storing is the wrong way to think, wrong way to talk, wrong way to respond, wrong way to do a lot of things, in addition to you trying to program it correctly, Christians. In other words, we come to church. 1 hour or 2 hours, however long your service is, man, that's 1 hour divided into 24 hours, divided into the 7 trillion. It means you didn't get a whole lot of information of right. We need to be, that's why God talks about doing it every day, thinking about what's going on in your mind every day, and bringing it back to the surface, because it's all piled on top. We have to keep bringing it back to our mind so it stays on top of all the junk that we receive in addition to that. In Mark 14:34, God created us with the, as you're turning to that, God created us with an intellect that has the ability to reason through all this junk that's in there, and look and try to be successful, but we don't give it much to work with. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That flesh there is talking about our mind, that our what we call today, our subconscious mind, has got all this information that cannot support us successfully the way we want to be. But the spirit wants to do God's will, wants to be successful. Romans 7:15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. That's kind of what he's saying there. He's saying he's doing things he don't want to do. It's because we have a lot of stuff up there that needs to go. But we got to replace it with something that builds a foundation of success. But see, we miss moments. We don't capture the best in the moment that it has to offer for us. Every moment we experience a potential of one more step toward being our best, but a lot of times we miss it. So we have to do it again. We don't move much toward our loved ones, for our dreams. And we don't always capture everything that we could be to get where we meant to be. Every human being wants to be the best. Christians, we've got to understand that every human being wants to be the best they were meant to be. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Humanity, man, we just keep missing our potential. We keep missing what we were meant to be. Just look around all the hurt that's just in the world today. We miss our what we're really capable of. I thought about that, you know, and I thought Jesus is the greatest story ever told. I've heard that lots of times, have you? But isn't it funny how we have one book where this Jesus is the greatest story ever told? And I said, that is so true, but there's also a contrast. It feels like humanity is probably the saddest story ever told. We have all this potential, and we just don't seem to ever get there. It's because Jesus is the story about what we could be. But we keep trying to write the book of self, which is the saddest story. Philippians 3:18-19 says this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose belly, God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. When you set your mind on things that have no real value, is what he's talking about here. You could strip and stumble and fall all the way to where everything you do is against, you're destroying everything Christ is trying to do in your life or somebody else's life. We're all trying to do what? Achieve our potential. Be awesome. Be great. But if we keep thinking, keeping our values focused on things that will tear all that down, It's not going to happen. But you don't live in a vacuum. When you tear down what Christ's trying to do in the way you think in your life, you will drag someone else down with you, even if you don't know what's happening. Because we're all interconnected as human beings. How do we miss those moments to be our best? Well, God created you with needs. But his intent with those needs was that he was always going to be that source. For example, we were created to be adequate through a drive to pursue our purpose. He created us with a need to self-examine, to know where we're at. And if he's your source, you'll feel confident because where you're at is where you should be. Where you're at is where you need to be. And everything else is into his hands, so you can feel good about that. You can feel good about yourself, good esteem. He created us with a need to be unified with others for the purpose. He's created us to be more powerful together and more stronger together. But self has entered into humanity. What is self? I call it all the non-Christian methodologies, because they've distorted our needs. All other ways beside Christ will distort them. I talked about how God created us with a drive toward our purpose, makes us feel adequate. But when you're not pursuing your purpose, then that doesn't take away your drive. You still feel driven to create a purpose. So we start going around searching for things to make us feel adequate. But that's impossible, because you're only created to achieve that one way. So all other ways, you're going to constantly, it'll never fill that void, and you'll just feel like empty, empty, empty. And then you start feeling inadequate, and nothing ever just fixes that. I talked about self-examining, how that's important. He created us for that ability, but the problem is that we are kind of willing to do that, but we do it through short-term perspectives. Because what I mean by that is, you only do enough to feel okay. And you ignore any truth that opposes those perspectives of yourself. That's the truth. That's what I'm saying. Like when someone comes to you and tells you that you got a big mouth, or that you were rude, or whatever it is that they point out to you, and you get a little riled up, get a little irritated at what they're saying, or you don't like the way they brought it to your attention, so you focus on how they delivered that truth to you or that message to you. You paid very little attention to what they said, and you focus on whether or not they disrespected you, or whether or not they did it in the wrong way, or whether or not they should have even been the one to do it. That's all forms of ignoring the truth, because it opposes, you don't want to feel bad about yourself. So you stay in that state, constantly fearful of everything around you. Then I said, self distorts the ability to unify. What happens is that becomes a constant search for acceptance, attached to wrong values and wrong reasons. We make friends for the wrong reasons. We make friends for the wrong values. We break off relationship with our friends for the wrong values and for the wrong reasons. And we hurt those we love for the wrong reasons and wrong values. Now, I said we'll talk just a little bit here about getting started in that direction, to capturing those moments that come to you so you can be your potential. I want to be my potential. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 10 and 12. I'm only going to give you four quick ones here. And that is, learn love. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about an action. I'm talking about a way of thinking. It's a nature. It becomes your nature. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. That word cover there in the original Hebrew means to fill up a space. So what he's saying here, I'm telling you this morning, is we need to think with a process of love till it becomes a character trait, so that way we can fill in the gap when someone falls short of their care, of their expression of character of Christ. We can fill in that gap. See, I used to be irritated by that scripture. I was like, what do you mean cover up all sins? I want people's sins to be exposed, by golly, except for mine. That's different. We all are aggressive to want everybody's sins to be exposed, to get them back on the straight and narrow, but we don't want that to, for ourselves. The truth is. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about that character matters. To have that kind of character of love is a way of you think. And then I thought about that, and I looked around me, and I realized that everybody wants that, whether they believe in God or not. Even non-Christian prefers a person who has good character. They want to be able to trust people. They want to be respected by people. They want to look for a spouse that when they make that final commitment is forever. I mean, nobody gets married for the idea of breaking up in 5 years or 3 years, or I don't know what it is now. 6 months? I don't know. I'm joking. But it's not, no one wants that. Matter of fact, everybody's so afraid of failing, they play house instead of getting married. That's what I call it. They pretend, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, but they do it. A lot of people do. They live together. But we all want a person with good character, so it makes sense. We need to gain our esteem through spiritual avenues. What I mean by that is turn your Bibles to Romans 8 and 6 as you're turning to that. Be of value to others through encouraging them, supporting them, being loyal, stand by them through the ups and downs. Romans 8 and 6 says this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What I'm talking about is look around you. How you choose to interact with people, do it with value, real substance. I'm talking about being spiritual in everything you're thinking about and you're doing. Even when you feel riled up, because the Bible does say, you know, it does give us a warning. It says, sin or be angry, but sin not. So that tells me that, I mean, there might become a time where anger is appropriate. It's just how I choose to respond from that point on may not be. That's where it says, that's why it says don't sin. Like, if you get angry, don't sin with the anger. Do it through good character. Okay, how about this? Develop relationships that are spiritual. Base them on spiritual principles from the Bible. Then your relationships will be strong, stable, and lasting. Now, I'm pointing this out because some of you might say, well, yeah, I understand that, Pastor. Yeah, but do you build your relationships better? Are you doing anything about your relationships? Even if you've been in the church for a long time, don't try and convince me that everybody thinks everybody's great. I mean, you like everybody all the time. I know everybody don't like me all the time. I know me that well, you know. We have been learning to build our relationship. Just keep doing it. Because there's always, until we get to, till Christ comes back, there's a long way to go to the next understanding of Christ and step a little bit further. He doesn't reveal everything to us because we all have a nervous breakdown. If God showed me all my areas that need to change, I'd probably have a nervous breakdown. Because it would feel like it's just overwhelming. It's not to him, but it would feel that way to me. But I need to build my relationship strong, stable, and lasting. And that, keep in mind, Satan, every moment, every day, is trying to destroy your relationships. Your relationship between you and God, even your relationship with yourself and your friends and your loved ones, because they are your strength, God through them. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Think about that before we read on. It says, let the word of God. That tells me I got something to do with receiving it, practicing it, using it, applying it. And it says, he didn't just say, let Christ's word dwell in you. It says, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, everything that we do. And then it says, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. It's interesting that at the very end he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I used to think that meant, well, I got to go to work in the name of the Lord. I think, because the context of this statement was right after he talked about how we should interact as a body of Christ. So, whatever your attitude might be in that moment. Now, here's where I think we make mistakes. You may feel good about everybody on Sunday morning, but we know that doesn't carry through the rest of the week. I wish it did, but we know it don't, because life is like that. Well, in that moment where you feel the most annoyed by someone, you need to remember that Jesus says, well, in that annoyance, whatever words come out your mouth, whatever action you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. So if you're about to tell someone off, you're about to do it in the name of the Lord. Is that honoring him or bring him shame? Just think about that. Last but not least, develop real security for the storms in this life. Your life, build your life on spiritual character. Because if you do, this will enable you to weather the storms of life. We're using some metaphors here, or whatever the word you want to use, but almost every human being at some point does feel like life is stressful. Life is difficult. Life is frustrating, whatever it is. That's storms of life. Things don't go right. I don't care if you're poor or wealthy. There's a lot of things that happen in your life that creates storms. We need to protect our heart, because if we protect our heart, it keeps our emotional being stable. Matthew 7 and 24. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. It's talking about a foundation. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. It says, God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We need to build this mind so we can protect our heart. Your heart, the Bible is telling me, it's inside this mind. And he's telling you, you should protect that very precious thing. Because our mind oftentimes is the reason why our emotions are so chaotic, are out there control. But sometimes your emotions do get out of control without your mind. The mind pulls it back in. Like, you don't have to tell people off just because you feel like telling them off. You don't have to say something hurtful because you feel like saying something hurtful. And just because you feel down and out doesn't mean you're not capable of getting up, going to work, being nice to people anyway, or doing God's work. Because his doing good is not based on how we feel. It's based on what we think about. So think about this. Your mind is important. So read Matthew 12 and 35, because it says what we deposit in our mind is what's going to come out. So all of us want to be successful, but most of us miss that mark. Now, that's important to keep in mind. I'm reiterating that because we don't want to think, don't think you're so special, everything's going to be okay. You've got to work at it every day. Capture the moments step by step, because it will get you one more step closer to your potential. So thank you for being with us. We hope you have a wonderful week. Sorry for all the technical crazy-eyed stuff is what I call it. Praise the Lord. Someone's going to turn off my phone. See you next week at 11 a.m., and we can't wait to get on down the road.